Strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Raid. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Murray's going to score. Touchdown.
Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker.
Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up.
Temperature rising. Vision blurring. Rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
I'm ready. I'm 100% ready. I'm telling you I'm ready.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
Hey, if you can't trust NFL.com, Wolf, who can you trust, right? Well, sort of. Here we go. Indeed. You know what they wrote about tonight's guest, about the Cardinals' round two pick, our very special guest. Here's what they wrote, and I quote, "We'll predict that the high character Edge Bendy Ojulari will outperform rushers picked ahead of him." End quote. We're talking about the likes of Will Anderson and Tyree Wilson and Lucas Van Ness and Will McDonald, .. Well, that's, again, according to NFL.com. We'll ask our own questions of the Cardinals' round two pick, number 41 overall, on this very special edition of the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi here, Ron Wolfley there.
You know, Paulie, because of the opportunity, of course, I think that the first two picks in the Arizona Cardinals' 2023 draft really will contribute an awful lot this season. I think Paris Johnson Jr., of course, especially at left guard, I think that's where they're going to start him off, and I think that's where he's going to be until maybe somebody gets hurt or goes down at some point. That could change everything, but I think he's going to see an awful lot of action, and I think B.J. Ojulari as well is going to see a lot of action. Those two guys, I think, are going to be able to contribute their rookie year. How much and to what degree, I don't know.
You know what I want to see? I want to see those two going against each other, mano a mano, O-line, D-line drills in camp in August. Sort of like once upon a time, DJ Humphreys got a lot better going against Chandler Jones. I want to see that as a regular thing. B.J. Ojulari against Paris Johnson Jr. We'll ask him about that. Well, you know what else we're going to ask him? Which QB he wants to sack the most in the NFL? Because a year ago at this time, MyJ Sanders answered that question immediately, and he said Tom Brady. So we'll ask B.J. Ojulari about that, why he wears the number 18, what sort of legacy that has with LSU, and he also has royalty in his family tree. We're going to get into that as well. But off the top, here we go, Wolf. They had the rookie minicamp, speaking of Paris Johnson Jr. and B.J. Ojulari. And the question of Jonathan Gannon here this time of year is, okay, how much exactly are you going to throw at the rookies?
We treat them like pros, you know, and they're going to have to get caught up, and they know that. You know, every guy's a little bit different, how you install and how you teach and what they can handle. So we're kind of just figuring that out first time with, you know, being in the building and being in meetings with them, things like that. So, but they know that the pace is going to go. The pace is the pace. So they got to get caught up and submerge with the vets and get caught up pretty quick.
And if you don't keep up, Wolf, then really you have no chance, right? Because, I mean, the coaches first and foremost have to be able to trust you in the scheme, in the playbook.
Just amazing, Pauly. The more things change in the NFL, the more they stay the same. And that is certainly the case when you're talking about a rookie coming into the National Football League. And what a shock it truly is, all the different schemes, the complexity of the schemes, of course. And it's a different game from college. You've heard me talk about this for years, Pauly, but it really is the truth. The only analogy that suffices for the most part, college football is a game of checkers, where the NFL is a game of chess. It truly is much more strategic, much more complex. You've got to apply yourself. You've got to work at your job when you're a rookie trying to learn these schemes. Because, Paulie, think about it. If you don't know what to do, what chance do you really have? Even if you think, Paulie, even if you think, like, I think I know what I'm doing on this, You want to be convicted. You want to be sure that you know what you're doing, Anna. Not just guessing at whether you're doing the right thing, but if you can't conceptualize it, you're not going to be able to execute it.
Because not only do you have to know your assignment and know it cold, but guess what? You have to know it when going against, oh, I don't know, the Kyle Shanahans of the world, right? The Sean McVays of the world. And what do they try and do? They try and confuse you. They try and make you a half step slow by showing you various things that make you think before you react. And to your point, there's no worse way to look slow on a football field than if you're thinking instead of playing.
Yeah, Paulie, and not only that, too, stop and think about this. There are a lot of different responsibilities that you might have on one given call. One call. But based on how they come out to the personnel group, the formation they're in, and the play they actually run, it might change your assignment, Paul. So not only do you need to know what you're doing on the play call, you also need to know the five or six or seven adjustments that come off it.
So, like, for example, you know what I think of when you talk about all that? I think of the Cardinals signing Kaiser White. I think of bringing in a guy who knows Gannon's defense, has run it for several years. I'm guessing they're going to give him the green dot that was Zaven Collins at outside linebacker. And guess what? Trust your eyes. He's an outside linebacker until we see differently. If Kaiser White is calling this defense, well, that makes a lot of sense. He is the quarterback of the D. He's the guy who knows Gannon's defensive playbook.
Yeah, Paulie. No, I think you're right about that. Again, Zaven Collins, he's going to be an outside linebacker. They're going to put him on the edge. I really do see this. I could see the Philadelphia Eagles defense being here where they covered the interior three offensive linemen, right? The center and both guards. They covered them with three techniques right there and then had two edge guys and then one linebacker, that being Kaiser White behind that. It was a six-man box, but it was a different construction of that six-man box for the most part. I could see that being a base defense for this team going forward.
All right, Jonathan Gannon was also asked about positional flexibility on guys learning multiple positions, you know, the old pair and a spare. Well, here's JG on that.
You know, our guys understand the value of playing multiple spots. You know, I got trained at a young age, a pair and a spare. You always got to have different guys be able to play different spots. And ultimately, you're trying to do what's best for the team and for the best for the player, too. So we got a long time to figure that out, but that's what we're doing now.
Where do you think Isaiah Simmons is going to play? I ask almost rhetorically. This is almost a weekly question.
The edge.
What is the edge, really?
The edge. Yeah, Paulie, the edge. I think, once again, that's Zaven Collins and that's Isaiah Simmons. Your two inside guys, I could see them being the edge, Paul. That's where I think JG is talking about not moving Isaiah Simmons all over the place. I could be wrong on that, Paulie, but I think he's talking more about a player being willing to be moved and to go somewhere and to try to help the team. That's what I think he's talking about. And if he is, if I'm correct on that, I think he's talking about Zaven Collins and Isaiah Simmons doing what they need to do to maybe take that next step in their careers.
Because if you look at the safety depth on this depth chart right now, there's not a lot behind a Buda Baker and a Jalen Thompson, right? So I could theoretically see Isaiah Simmons in the safety room again. Now, as of right now, moments ago, I checked the Cardinals' website. He's still listed as an inside linebacker. Now, that's just a regular roster. That's not a depth chart, you know, installed by the team or anything, or the coaches, that is. I bring this up also because did you see what Dan Quinn said this week about Micah Parsons? Micah Parsons had tweeted out within the last week that he's using the offseason to bulk up, gain some weight, and to prepare for a full-time pass rusher role. Now, Dan Quinn sort of shot that down a little bit with the media because he was asked about that when he met the media instead of Mike McCarthy, who's out getting like back surgery or something. So the media was all over him, and he called him, Dan Quinn, Micah Parsons, quote, a pass-rushing linebacker. And I immediately thought of Isaiah Simmons. The question is, could an Isaiah Simmons, in your opinion, maybe bulk up a little bit to be more equipped for the edge and to hold the point against the run, perhaps?
Yeah, he could, Paulie. There's no doubt he could. But, you know, I don't really know how much he's got to bulk up on that one. I really don't. We're going to get a firsthand look, obviously. We're going to see if he's going to be able to do that. But a lot of setting the edge, Paul, is really coming from the inside. It's more like setting your soul, if you know what I mean. Set the edge by set your soul and make sure you're being stiff at the point of attack and you are setting that edge. I think Isaiah Simmons, once he knows exactly, and this is the reason why, Paulie, I continue to talk about this, but why I would leave him at one position. You need to know what is expected of you in every situation, against every offense, against every formation, against every personnel group. You need to know what is expected of you on every play that you're going to call. And that is the reason why you can demand from a player, do your job, because you know what it is you have to do. But when you start moving guys all over the place, now it becomes cloudy.
So I'm going to go full circle in this segment. NFL.com today, as I go back to the NFL website, they have a story. 32 teams, 32 needs is the headline. Top remaining offseason priority for each team. What do you think they listed for the Cardinals?
D-Hop.
Well, did you read the article?
Yes, Paul. This for a living, Paul.
Yeah. They listed D-Hop.
Yeah, it was D-Hop. Yes.
They listed get what you can for D-Hop immediately, to which I totally disagree because, you know, some team's going to get to training camp and realize that the rookie receiver they drafted ain't all that in a bag of chips, and maybe we should get something in someone who's proven, so
he's a wide receiver one, Paul.
Yeah. All right.
Treat him as such.
So here's a scouting report on B.J. Ojulari. His ability to bend the edge makes him the best prospect in the class in this area. Hello. We're going to talk to the Cardinals' round two rookie pass rusher as we continue with the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
With the 41st pick in the 2023 draft, the Arizona Cardinals select B.J. Ojulari, linebacker, LSU.
I love what Ojulari can do in the pass and run game. I think he's a very natural pass rusher. You can see his bend coming off the edge with speed. He can beat you with speed. He's very fluid and natural with his counter rushes. And then on top of that, he can stick a long arm in there and work moves off his long arm. So as far as his rush ability, very versatile, very natural. And then I love the tools that he has in the run game.
His new Cardinals defensive coordinator, Nick Rowless, on the Cardinals' new edge guy, the new weapon, getting after the quarterback. And we'll get to the fact that, yes, that was the voice of Cardinals Hall of Famer, legend, the Ring of Honor guy, Aeneas Williams, a Louisiana guy, by the way. But we love to speak the language of pass rushing here on the Big Red Rage, okay? I mean, you know, getting after the quarterback. I know Jonathan Gannon is fond of the phrase rush and crush. There's a dip and rip. That's a good one. Bend the edge. I like, you know, some of my favorite football terms are when it comes to pass rushing. You know, you heard speed to power, and then you heard Nick Rowless, the long arm stab. And it's even better when we're talking with B.J. Ojulari himself, the Cardinals' new pass rusher here on the Big Red Rage. B.J., how we doing?
I'm doing great, man. You definitely cover pass rush perfectly right there.
What do you like? What's your favorite term when it comes to pass rushing? You know, I mean, is there anything that stands out when you're talking about the art of getting after the quarterback? What do you like to talk about the most?
Really dipping and ripping, being the guy off the edge. That's one of my favorite things to do. Like you said, pass rush is art, and that's where I think I can display my best talents right there.
So we heard the moment, right, where your name was called. And when you go back to the TV copy, and I love the fam cam, right, because there you were, right? You were like at the epicenter of a V, right? You had your family to your left, all to the right. And then when you go to the phone call in the war room for Monty Ossenford, the GM, you couldn't even hear him. What was that like? It was like bedlam in your house.
I was so in shock. Everyone else was so excited, and I'm just there almost frozen. I'm trying to listen to the call. I'm trying to respond, say yes, sir. You know, it was just a moment. He said, just, you know, enjoy this moment with your family. We're going to call you back.
Because it is a moment you had been working and striving for probably over a decade, right? I mean, that's the moment where I'm guessing a lifelong dream is realized.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. That's why it's just so shocking that the time actually came. You know, it's like once you're 8 years old, now it's time to get drafted. So it's definitely a a great process and a great moment just to take in.
What's it been like ever since? Has it been a blur? Have things slowed down a little bit for you?
Yeah, it's been a blur. Like after, you know, 2-3 days after the draft, things are starting to slow down. We're in Arizona now. We're with the team, with the coaches. So things are starting to slow down, start to be more clear, getting to know the vets in the locker room. So it's definitely getting to slow down and make sense now.
Yeah, you went from rookie minicamp, and we're on board with B.J. Ojulari, the Cardinals' second-round pick, number 41 overall. The vets show up. Did the compete level go up a notch or two when those guys showed up?
Yeah, it's definitely a competitive environment. But all of them are taking me under their wing. All the guys in the outside linebacker room are doing a great job, you know, just teaching me the ropes, teaching me how it is to, you know, come in the NFL, what I have to do, you know, to stay in the NFL and contribute to this team.
Because you heard from Cam Thomas and MyJ Sanders right off the bat, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
And what sort of friendly advice are you getting? Because those guys just went through the rookie process themselves. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing from some of the guys who have been there and done that?
Really just getting that playbook, understand the defense, understand the calls, understand what's asked of me, being able to diagnose plays, formations, getting in on special teams as well, being able to contribute on there and, you know, asking, doing everything the coaches ask of me. So
all we've seen of you was rookie minicamp, right? The media, that is. And you were the only guy out there in your position group for the most part. So what sort of scouting report would you give on yourself?
So for myself, you know, coming into the NFL, definitely a guy who is a natural pass rusher, can bend the edge, use speed to power, great speed rushes, can also understand drops, get into drops and zones and be used in coverage as well. Definitely great with movement along the line to create, you know, TFLs and really just a high motor player.
Was there anything – well, come on now. There's got to be, right? Every player who's come in after the draft – you know, over all time have said, you know what, there are things about my scouting report I heard from the Mel Kuypers and Todd McShays of the world that irritated me. What were some of the things that maybe were out there that, you know, you maybe didn't agree with or maybe is going to stick with you through your playing career?
Yeah, just not being able to play the run. You know, a lot of people said I wasn't able to play the run. I think in college I definitely been at an upward progression of playing a run. This last year, I think I put on the weight with striking blocks, setting hard, good edges. So that's something that I think that I did good, but I can definitely improve on everything in my game.
When you were at LSU, you wore number 18, right? We're Pac-12 country out here. So tell us about the significance of earning the honor of wearing 18. What does that mean within the LSU legacy?
Yeah, 18 is a coveted number. Is given to the best all-around player on and off the field. It really just speaks to a testament to your leadership, the way you handle yourself, your character, your academics as well, and just the whole package. Just a great example for the younger guys, and you're the one who's the face of the team and you're representing the state of Louisiana and your whole team. So it's definitely a blessing and a great for your legacy just to be able to represent all the number 18s that came before me.
So how cool was it that 18's available for the Cardinals?
Yeah, it's a blessing just to be able to carry on that tradition. 18 is a special number to me, special to Louisiana, LSU. So it's definitely you know, something that I was blessed, and I'm very grateful for the Arizona Cardinals to let me wear number 18.
And for those who haven't seen it, you go to B.J. Ojulari's Twitter page, and the background is number 56, Lawrence Taylor with the New York Giants. That was pretty cool to see. I mean, tell us about that. Does that have anything to do with the fact that your brother plays for the Giants, or were you already a fan before your brother was drafted a couple years ago?
Yeah, I was already a fan. I remember I was probably in middle school or high school, and I saw Lawrence Taylor, A Football Life, on NFL Network, and I just immediately had a gravitation to the way he played, his dominance, and just, you know, everything he stood for on the field. So I just wanted to put that as my banner, just to, you know, what I represent on the field and what I can bring in the pass rush and just a dominance in the game.
Yeah, it's hard to find a bigger force than Lawrence Taylor. Yeah. Our co-host on this show, Ron Wolfley, battled him twice a year, okay, yeah. Off the edge. Had to try and block Lawrence Taylor and all the guys who, I mean, just the reverence the former players talk about in trying to go after Lawrence Taylor. And the key, they say, was just don't make him mad, because if he did, you were doomed. That's basically the way it went. Now, your brother, Aziz, plays for the Giants. How instrumental has he been in your career, maybe taking this next step from college to the pros?
Very. You know, he's the blueprint. looking up to him, seeing what he had to do to get to the, this level that we're both at now. So he basically just laid the foundation for me to follow and just one day exceed.
He's had, what, 13 and a half sacks his first 2 years? He's had a great start to his NFL career. What was it like growing up? I mean, how much roughhousing was there in the Ojulari household? How many lamps did you guys break when you were kids?
Yeah, it was a lot of roughhousing, a lot of broken lamps, tables, chairs.
I bet.
But, you know, I just think it made us, you know, closer together, had a better bond. You know, growing up, that's one of my best friends now. So it's definitely great to have him in my life.
No, that's great to hear. And you went to LSU in part because he went to Georgia, right? Weren't you trying to sort of carve your own niche?
Yeah, definitely. I was trying to, you know, go my own path, carve my own legacy. LSU was the best choice for me. He supported that decision. He wanted me to come to Georgia, but, you know, I just had different plans and different aspirations.
How do you like to be coached? I read where one of the questions that players will get at the combine is, in those 15-minute speed dating interviews, they'll ask a player, you know, how do you want to be coached? How can we get the best out of you? What would your answer be to that?
I think I'm very adaptable. I can adapt to any style of coaching, in my opinion. I definitely like to be taught, be able to relay the information and translate it to the field. But I think I'm very versatile in understanding what the coaching points are and how the coaching style is to be able to maximize my opportunity and maximize my play.
Some of these scouting reports say you like to use a hesitation move to set up the offensive lineman. Is that accurate? And is there anything else that's maybe sort of signature about your game or specific to you?
Yeah, I definitely use hesitations, you know, fakes, flashes, just to give different looks, you know, stop offensive lineman feet, you know, just anything to help me get the edge.
My Jay Sanders said in here a year ago about this exact time, and I said, give me the name of a quarterback you would really like to sack in the NFL. I didn't even finish this sentence, BJ, and he blurted out Tom Brady, okay, and he got to play against Tom Brady last year. Is there an NFL quarterback? Oh, man, it would be meaningful for you to take down.
Yeah, there's a lot of quarterbacks, really. Of course, my number one would have been Tom Brady as well. But, you know, you always want to sack the greats, one of the best in the league, the Joe Burrows, the Josh Allens, Jalen Hurts, and, of course, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be cool. No doubt. BJ Ojulari, our guest on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. How about the fact that you have Will Anderson already being told that he's going to have his hand in the dirt with Houston? They're changing things up for him. How do you think you'll be used in this Nick Rowless defense?
I think I'm going to be more of a stand-up, Sam, Jack, outside linebacker role, just be able to use me in space, use my versatility to help contribute to the defense.
How much do you think you're going to follow the Will Andersons, the Tyree Wilsons, you know, Lucas Van Ness, Will McDonald, all those guys who went in round one? How much do you think you'll follow them? I mean, how much, I don't know, does it fire you up maybe since you went the top of round two?
Yeah, it's definitely. Those guys, we all train together, so they're good friends of mine. You know, I'm wishing the best for them. But it's definitely going to be a competition, not with just them, but everyone around the league. All the best pass rushers in the league is going to be a competition with them, my brother as well. So it's going to be a great season just to be able to compete with, you know, my teammates and all the other rushers in the league.
Because the stat that stands out to us that since 2020, according to Pro Football Focus, you had 126 quarterback pressures, and that was second only to Will Anderson. Some have called you underrated in falling to the top of round two. What do you think?
I'll definitely say that's kind of accurate in my opinion, but I'm going to play to my value. I think I should have, you know, probably went a little higher, but I'm definitely still going to play to that value. And, you know, I just am so appreciative of the Arizona Cardinals giving me opportunity, and I just want to be able to maximize that and give them everything I have.
How's life in Arizona treated you so far? Have you seen a scorpion or a rattlesnake or anything yet?
Nah, I haven't seen none of that, and I hope not to see none of that.
How about the Heat versus Louisiana? What do you think so far?
You know, it's hard to say because they're saying Arizona gets in the 120s, the 118s. So
at the worst, that'll be the worst. Yeah, that'll be when everything bottoms out.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you know, Louisiana is real humid. You know, you can almost cut the air. It's hard to breathe. So, but 120 is still 120. So I'm going to see how that compares.
So when you Google you up, BJ Ojulari, we noticed that there's royalty in your family tree that, if I'm reading this right, you're the grandson of a Nigerian prince, descendant of a king. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so my grandfather on my mother's side, his name is Twin 77. He's a set of seven twins. He's very known in Nigeria back at home, a great artist, musician, traveled the world performing. He still has arts and, you know, certain museums and stuff like that.
Wow.
But, yeah, he was very well-known, very recognized. So that's another thing, very prideful family, and just being able to represent, you know, the last name of my mom's family and my father's family.
That's outstanding. Can you play an instrument yourself, or can you draw?
Nah, all the artistic and music side went to my sisters. We just play ball.
What are you most curious about in the NFL, BJ? I mean, what do you really want? I mean, you're not going to be able to find out until game day, but what do you want to know about this league that you haven't found out yet?
I just want to know what it feels like to be on the mountaintop, to win a Super Bowl, to compete with the best, to be considered one of the best. That's really what it is for me, building my legacy to hopefully become one of the best, one of the coveted players in the league.
I tell you what, we look forward to seeing you against Paris Johnson Jr. in camp. I have a feeling that iron's going to sharpen iron, that you guys are going to make each other better.
Yes, sir.
That's going to be some good stuff. Well, look, from Death Valley to the Valley of the Sun, welcome. Welcome to the Arizona Cardinals. It was great to have you. Thanks, BJ.
Thank you.
All right, there we go. Talking a little pass rushing there with the Cardinals' second-round pick. We'll continue with this edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
End zone, got it back there. Touchdown to Carter.
Two, looking long for the tank. He got room inside the 10.
First and goal, Toon looking for his fifth touchdown pass. Does he have it? Does he have it? You bet he does. The Cougars get another one from their star quarterback, Clayton Toon.
Blitz comes. He's flushed and looking and scrambling and leaping. It is in! Wow! Up and away.
70 touchdown passes the last 2 years of his college career at Houston. Prolific passing stats. One of 10 quarterbacks drafted in the first 150 picks, Ron Wolfley. That is the first time since 1995, and there were a dozen quarterbacks in the first five rounds, and that sets a modern draft record. And a lot of people wondering, was that the Brock Purdy effect? Because Clayton Toon has 44 career starts, and those experienced college quarterbacks started flying off the board on day number 3. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. And if there's one thing we know, Ron Wolfley, it is that the NFL is a copycat league, and I'm guessing a lot of teams, maybe even the Cardinals, are looking for the next Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I would say so, Paulie. Brock Purdy acquitted himself pretty well when given the opportunity right now, and one of the great things about the National Football League, especially the sport. The sport of football, it's the ultimate meritocracy, Paul. It really is. You know what? You get what you earn. 99.9% of the time, you get what you earn. You got to come in, and you've got to earn that right now. And Clayton Toon, he's very intriguing. He's got a little bit of size to him. He's got a little movement to him as well. It's going to be interesting to watch this guy and his development, because I think he's going to be given that opportunity as well, Paul.
6'3", 220. He started games over five different seasons at Houston. We know his comments. I'm the best quarterback in this class. We're going to get a comment. You know, well, look, Jonathan Gannon was asked about it. Yours truly. I asked him just about that fact that he made that proclamation after he was drafted. I'm sure he still had the adrenaline flowing of hearing his name called and all that kind of stuff. And JG essentially said, you know what, I'm fine with that, but it's even better when you speak softly and carry a big stick. So, you know, what do you think? Because that's not all that Clayton Toon said. He went on to say, quote, I'm a natural leader.
Yeah.
People follow me. I elevate everyone around me. People see the work I put in. I have that no flinch mentality when things get tough.
Yeah, Paulie. And honestly, he's going to be given that opportunity to show that he does have that no flinch when things get tough out here. It's great. You've got to, how many times have you heard me talk about this? But as a quarterback, you have got to be a confident person. You truly do. And that's going to be the challenge to Clayton Toon when he goes out there and realizes that these schemes are much more difficult than college schemes, that the speed of the game is much different than a college game because everybody out on that field can run. Everybody out on that field is a specimen to some degree. Everybody out on that field is a good football player. It becomes very, very tough. But once again, would you rather have your quarterback be confident or not be confident? You know what? I'll take him as a confident. I'll take that quarterback that is confident, but you also have to be real.
And by the way, per Pro Football Focus, he had the best passing grade in all of college football last year, and he had the highest on-target percentage. So he's accurate. He has good anticipation. We'll see if he's given every chance to compete for that backup playing time behind Kyler Murray. Speaking of the Cardinals franchise quarterback, we got an update recently on the Dave Pasch podcast from the GM, Monty Austin Ford.
Kyler's here every day. Kyler's grinding. He's working hard. He's getting better. He's improving every day. I don't have a timeline. I don't have an update on that. We're going to put him out there when he's ready. He's doing everything he can now. He's in meetings. He's learning. He's trying to take in the new offense and doing what he can on that front. He just can't be out on the field right now, and he's just physically not ready to do that.
I mean, Kyler is sighted around the Cardinals facility pretty much on a daily basis. He's definitely been putting in the work. The rehab hours, they've been there. There's a lot of bullish reports on how he's progressing. Jonathan Gannon was very positive in his response to the media less than a week ago. But then he sort of ended the answer with, he's still got a long ways to go, quote unquote. Of course, as our Craig Grillo pointed out, he also said that about the entire team at one point. We've got a long ways to go. So you don't know if that's really specific to Kyler necessarily in his rehab schedule. But beyond Kyler, Wolf, because it is uncertain. Is he going to be back in the first month, the second month? Nobody knows. How wide open do you think the competition is behind Kyler?
Yeah, boy, that is a great question, Paul. Really, first of all, let me just say that I believe Kyler Murray, based on some of the reports that I have heard, I do believe that Kyler Murray is progressing very, very well. How well? That is going to be the question right there. How well? How many games will he miss? We're going to have to wait and see on that. In terms of who's going to be the backup, Paulie, right now, I don't know how you don't go into week one with Colt McCoy as your quarterback. I just have a hard time believing that it's not going to be Colt McCoy going in week one. Now, Clayton Tune, how well is Clayton Tune going to pick up the scheme? I have no idea. How well is he going to pick up the offense? I don't know. How well is he going to play in preseason games? I've got no idea. But I do think Colt McCoy is going to be the starting quarterback for this team week one, and then week two, and maybe after that, as long as Kyler is out, I think you're still going to have Colt McCoy be the starter.
Well, here's Drew Stanton, 13-year NFL veteran, former Cardinals backup quarterback, and this is from the Red Sea Report this week on how Clayton Tune should handle the competition.
I think that experience is so valuable, and the amount that he has played at the college level, the amount of football that he's seen, is going to help him tremendously because he's not going to get a ton of reps. You've got to be able to learn through different avenues and different mechanisms, and by watching, you've got to be able to sit there and assimilate this knowledge. There's different ways to make sure you're continuing to improve and staying engaged, because if you take a day off, if you just say, oh, I don't have any reps today, you're going to fall behind. You're going to fall behind quickly. And once you lose any footing in a quarterback room, it could be over very fast.
David Blough started a couple of games for the Cardinals last year. Down the stretch, we saw that. Jeff Driskel started games for the Texans last year. So everyone ahead of him on the depth chart definitely has NFL experience. As a rookie, obviously, he does not. But Drew also made another point, Wolf. I thought this was interesting, that with a dual-threat quarterback on the board in Dorian Thompson-Robinson from UCLA, the Cardinals went after Clayton Tune.
Yes.
They did not go after a Kyler clone, so right, to speak, in terms of body type and skill set. They went after the 6'3", 220, more of a pocket quarterback.
Paulie, here you know exactly what I'm going to say about that, and that's because now all of a sudden you're going to see an offense, I think, that is going to try to blend the old and the new, an offense that is going to try to put their quarterback more under center, an offense that is going to attack the line of scrimmage with a big back like James Conner, attack the line of scrimmage, and then use the power of play action that has been around for a long, long time. Listen, I know that the new age offense and the zone read and the RPOs are very, very effective. But the only thing that makes them more effective is if you're also able to put your quarterback under center and then use one of the oldest tactics in the game of football, and that is play action, to use that in rundown situation. JG, as a head coach and former defensive coordinator, JG understands the power of having a quarterback under center, running to a mesh point. Does he have the ball? Is he going to hand the ball off, or is he not going to hand it? Oh, you guessed wrong. And if you guess wrong, you're hosed. JG understands that, Paul. And because of that, it makes me think we're going to see a lot more under center in the Arizona Cardinals' future.
And don't dismiss the fact that the Cardinals' quarterback's coach, Israel Wolfork, that he worked with Clayton Tune the entire week at the Senior Bowl. He was the quarterback coach. So he got real familiar with the sort of person and quarterback that Clayton Tune is, and obviously they felt comfortable enough in making him the 139th pick of the NFL draft. Another standout from the Senior Bowl was Michael Wilson. And having watched the little bit of rookie minicamp they allowed us to watch, I mean, and look, it might have been because he was one of the few guys running full speed, he's running routes, but Michael Wilson, just the size, the fluidity, the route running, he crushed his interview with the media. I mean, very polished. He's already a top five interview on this team, very well spoken. I thought he stood out. John Gaines was getting reps at center. Now he was one of two offensive linemen. We're going to talk about that coming up here, along with Paris Johnson Jr. But, Wolf, just in general, this rookie class to me has a real chance to get a lot of playing time this season.
Yeah, Paul, it's so interesting to hear you mention Michael Wilson as well. That guy's got a little verticality to him. He brings a little size, and I think that's what the Cardinals need. I wouldn't be surprised to see him really step forward as a rookie.
Hey, single game tickets on sale now. Go to azcardinals.com/buy tickets to secure your seats today. azcardinals.com/buy tickets. All right, Paris Johnson Jr. He's got to be a day one starter, right? Number six overall? And if so, where? There's at least three different options by our count. We'll break it down when we come back on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
With the sixth pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Paris Johnson Jr., Ohio State.
High football character. Highly intelligent, well-spoken, mature, dependable. And you can tell that he's made of the right things, the things that we want not only our offensive linemen to be made of, but our entire team.
That's GM Monty Ossenfort. On his draft selection, number six overall. Remember, the Cardinals started round one in this year's draft at number three. Then they traded down to number 12. Then they came back up to number six. And the more I hear about how it went down in the war room, Ron Wolfley, including this week, anecdotally, most everyone other than Monty Ossenfort was gripping big time when the clock got under 2 minutes. And he still had several teams on the horn, one on his cell phone, one on the house phone. And they're like, Monty, we're under 2 minutes to go here, buddy. And he was cool and calm for his very first draft ever as the, I mean, decision maker running that thing. And the Cardinals end up with Houston's first round pick next year. By the way, speaking of Houston real quick, you realize week 11, Paris Johnson Jr. against Will Anderson.
Yes, Paulie.
I mean, Will Anderson, who led college football D1 with 27.5 sacks the last 2 years against Paris Johnson, 3 sacks allowed on 882 pass block snaps in his college career, according to Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, Paulie, honestly, right now, it's going to be interesting to see where they start Paris Johnson Jr. I would put him at left guard. That seems like the natural fit right there, knowing you've got a left tackle in DJ Humphreys, knowing you got Kelvin Beachum on the other side, Will Hernandez at right guard. The center position is still going to be up for grabs, but Paris Johnson Jr., I could see him at left guard right there. I would put him there because I'd want him to be in a position where he's getting in a left-handed stance as an offensive lineman, because you probably see him at some point in time being your franchise left tackle going forward, provided he develops, of course, and becomes everything you think. So it would be a much easier transition kicking out to left tackle when DJ Humphreys is done. When that is, I do not know, but I love the fact Paris Johnson Jr. is going to be working closely with DJ.
Now, if DJ Humphreys was sitting here, Wolf, you know how Deej would react, right? He'd say, yeah. I'm 27, 28, I'm in my prime, and you already got me out of here? Yeah, I'm in a long-term contract. Now, there is the ability for the Cardinals maybe to get out of the contract starting after this season. But what's wrong with DJ Humphreys over the next 3 or 4 years as your franchise left tackle, and then Paris Johnson Jr. manning the right side, right tackle?
There's nothing wrong with that, Pauly, whatsoever. There really isn't. But I think you know 4 years is a lifetime in the National Football League. You have no idea what's going to happen, both contractually for the most part and from an injury perspective.
Well, here's Paris Johnson Jr. to the media recently, just him explaining the difference to him between guard and tackle.
I think just the timing of everything. I think how quickly you bring your hands, being able to realize where your help is, because a guard, you're in a box, a tackle, you're in space. With Coach Adams, you know, that's one. I feel like regardless of where I'm at, being with Coach Adams, I think he knows how to develop his guys to play that sort of way, you know, regardless of position.
That is O-line coach Clayton Adams he's referring to there. All right, so let me throw this at you, Ron Wolfley. Rookie minicamp last week, in the 1 hour the media was allowed to observe, there was John Gaines snapping the ball, and lined up to his right was Paris Johnson Jr. Now, this was on air, but there was Paris Johnson. He could have been lined up left, but he wasn't. He was lined up right. So we took that, and from that, I'm telling you, I think it's going to be DJ Humphreys' left tackle. Your right tackle is going to be Paris Johnson Jr. Kelvin Beecham becomes your swing, a guy who got you out of a game last year at left tackle, also has experience on the interior. Will Hernandez, I think, goes back to left guard, where he played his first 4 years in the league. And now you got to figure out center and right guard.
Oh, my goodness, Pauly, you're kidding me. You're telling me that Kelvin Beecham, what did they sign him to, a two-year contract, Paul? Was it a two-year contract?
Yes.
You're going to tell me that Kelvin Beecham is not going to be a starter?
I think he's a perfect, at this point in his career, he's the perfect swing guy. And, Wolf, if all these rookies this year are going to learn on the job, why not Paris Johnson Jr.? Look at what the Seahawks did last year with their two rookie tackles. Look what the Giants did last year with their right tackle, Evan Neal, who was a top 10 pick as well. I just see that as a trend right now in the NFL, and I think the Cardinals follow along.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I see Paris Johnson Jr. being the left guard. We'll take, you know what, Paul? A little wager
on
that.
Okay.
How about a friendly wager on that? Yeah, you know what? The left guard, for the most part, gets more help and gives more help than anybody else. I like him there.
Here's my other hot take. I think because of that, they have three viable tackles. Josh Jones is on the trading block. That's what I think, but I have no idea. I'm just projecting. Maybe they think Josh Jones is your left guard since he's much more comfortable on the left than he is on the right. I don't know. I also have no idea what they're thinking necessarily at center. Right now, if you had to play a game, I presume it would be Yelda Froholt just because he has several years of NFL experience and actually started 4 or 5 games last year at center in a pinch for the Browns. But John Gaines is very well thought of, and there he was snapping during rookie minicamp. You got a gut feel on the center spot, Wolf.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be Yelda Froholt. I do, Pauly. I think it's going to be him. He's going to be given the first opportunity to go out there and win the job. You know, with John Gaines, they needed somebody to snap the ball, and I know he can play center. I know that's part of his repertoire, yet at the same time, I think Yelda has got a huge advantage, and the reason being is because he's actually played at this level. And not only that, Pauly, he's played in the offense that Drew Petzing is going to bring to the Cardinals.
Yeah, that is true. There's no doubt about that. And he's a great personality, Yelda Froholt. You know what he refers to himself as?
I don't, Paul.
The Danish Army Knife. Because he's from Denmark.
Wait a minute. The Danish Army Knife.
That's what he calls himself. It's outstanding.
Pauly, I don't know. Yelda, can I talk to you for a minute? I don't know if you actually want to go out and tell people that.
No,
he's
got a good personality. He's he's Dutch. He grew up, and then he came over to America, and so it's solid. He uses Atlas stones as part of his workout, like the World's Strongest Man competition.
Yeah.
That's what he uses as part of his workout.
You know, I want to go back, Paulie, not that I'm ignoring your workout talk right there. I just want to go back to Will Hernandez at right guard as well. You're talking about moving him over to left guard.
Yeah.
Will Hernandez at right guard was the best offensive lineman the Arizona Cardinals had through the first 8 weeks until he got hurt.
I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm not. And you know what? That's just rampant speculation on my point. I think the interior O-line is a complete unknown right now.
Yeah.
It really is. In fact,
well, you know Will's going to start at one of those guard positions.
Yeah, it's just the where. And, you know, beyond DJ Humphries and Will Hernandez, you know, we have no idea what a new coaching staff and a new GM thinks of all these players.
True.
So, Season 6, Episode 3, Cardinals Flight Plan, streaming now, youtube.com/AZCardinals. Special thanks, as always, Jim Almahundro, Lauren Koval. B.J. Ogilari was our special guest. For Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. This has been the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Number one, Kyler Murray!
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.
That's what I'm talking about!